Thank you, Pastor Call, for bringing us here to this church and for your wonderful prayers. Thank you for sharing your pulpit with me today. We are so thrilled and glad to be here. And we were able to share God's faithfulness in our life and how He is writing our story with your pastor's family, with your missions team, staff family, and with your children, and finally with you all. So great to be here. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. It is such an honor and joy to bring God's living and active word to you this morning. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians. As you turn your Bibles, let me briefly say something about this letter. Philippians has four chapters. We all know that Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi. That is, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. There are some bumper sticker verses or coffee mug verses in Philippians. And I'm sure you're familiar with at least a few. One such verse is Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I wonder sometimes whether those who have put this verse on their cars or on their mugs have really understood the height, the breadth, and the length, and the depth of this verse. Because this is not a fancy verse. Let me say it again. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, is not a fancy verse. This is a weighty verse, right? Another one is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is one of the verses that is often misquoted out of context by many Christians all over the world. Let me give you another example. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Philippians 4:4 clearly indicates that this epistle is an epistle of joy. Philippians is no doubt an epistle of joy. Do you know why? It is an epistle of joy because it is an epistle of the gospel. It is an epistle of the gospel. Speaking of the church in Philippi, it was not like the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was facing a lot of issues. And Paul takes time to address every issue present in the church. But the church in Philippi was a gospel church. Paul loved this church. I think this church would have been Paul's go-to church. He would have been thrilled to introduce himself to others as a senior pastor of the church in Philippi. It was the first church Apostle Paul planted in Europe around AD 49 to 52 during his second missionary journey. And after some 8 years, about AD 60, Paul writes this letter while in prison, probably in Rome. Paul talks about gospel partnership in the bookends of this letter to the Philippians. In chapter 1, verse 5, and then in chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And chapter 4, verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. You may wonder what made the Philippians to enter into partnership with Paul. What made the Philippians to enter into partnership with Apostle Paul. What is the reason? Promoting the work of the gospel, advancing the gospel. If I put it in context to this month's sermon series of your church, Paul and the Philippians entered into partnership in advancing the Great Commission. Note the phrase, in advancing. We are all called to make disciples, every one of us, not just your pastor or a missionary like me. Every one of us are called to make disciples, wherever the Lord has placed us. We are called to make disciples in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces. But if we need to advance the Great Commission, that is, making disciples of all nations, making disciples in India, making disciples in China, making disciples in countries in Africa, making disciples in countries in Europe, we can't do it alone. We need to enter into gospel partnership. We need to enter into gospel partnership who are on the ground making disciples, planting churches, who are advancing the Great Commission. Well, what does gospel partnership look like? I think you already have on the screen, right? Gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace, continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, giving and receiving, and ends with giving God the glory. I know this is mouthful, right? But I have tried to make it look like a three-point sermon, okay? So it starts with the realization of God's grace and continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying and giving and receiving and ends with giving God the glory. First, gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace. Chapter 1, verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I want you to pay attention to the phrase, partakers with me of grace. The starting point is not the needs of Apostle Paul or the needs of the Philippians. The needs of your global partners or your church needs. The starting point is the grace of God. Genuine partnership, genuine gospel partnership begins with the realization of God's grace. I think Apostle Paul is reminding them about God's grace that is found in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, you all, the Philippians, and I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but by his grace, grace alone, we are justified, made right with God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross, through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this is foundational to gospel partnership. Only those who are justified by his grace can become gospel partners. Only those who have the realization of God's grace in their lives can become gospel partners. Only such people can do or involve in the activities such as thanksgiving, praying, giving, receiving. Only such activities can be fruitful and bring glory to God. Let me pause here for a moment and ask you this question. As gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace, have you realized God's grace in your life? Gospel partnership cannot happen between people who simply say Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It can happen only between people who say Jesus Christ is my Savior, Jesus Christ is my Lord. We can all say Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Have you realized Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord? Gospel partnership begins with the realization of God's grace in our life. This is foundational and critical for gospel partnership. Well, you may say, we get it. You may ask me, have I realized God's grace in my life? You need to know this, right? If you want to partner with me, enter into gospel partnership, you really want to know whether I'm saved. I have come to a realization of God's grace in my life. I was born and brought up in a Christian home in India. Though I was regular to worship and all the church activities, I did not realize the gift of God's grace in my life until I attended a youth camp when I was in my 8th grade. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in that youth camp. And until I began college, everything went okay. In college, I made some wrong, stupid decisions, and this led me away from the Lord. I slowly gave up having personal time with God and picked up a few habits, bad habits, and no wonder my studies suffered. I was frustrated, and I didn't like the way things happened to me. I lost the hope. I felt there is no reason for me to live. And I started to contemplate suicide. And I used to go to college from my home by train. One day, I just decided to jump out of the moving fast train and kill myself. I went to the door. As I was about to jump, I heard a gentle voice from the Lord. I love you. And I said to myself, I know this person because I grew up in a Christian home and I used to go to church on all Sundays. I was regular to Sunday schools. I was regular to vacation Bible schools. And I asked him, do you truly love me? And this time, second time, he said, yes, Abby, I love you. It was so personal. First time, I love you. Second time, do you truly love me, Jesus? He said, yes, Abby, I love you. This encounter made me to come to my senses, and I was in tears, and I knelt down in the public train and confessed my sins and recommitted my life again. And this has become a turning point in my life. So I realized God's grace on that day. Realization of God's grace by the goer, the person who goes as a missionary, and the sender, the individuals, and the church that supports, is the starting point of gospel partnership. I wish we had enough time to listen to all your stories of how you all have realized God's grace in your life. First, gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace. Second, gospel partnership continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, giving and receiving. although there are four activities, thanksgiving, praying, giving, and receiving, Paul puts these four into two. He combines thanksgiving and praying and giving and receiving. First, thanksgiving and praying. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul first expresses his gratitude. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. What makes Paul to thank God? First, as we had already seen, he realized God's grace in his life as well as in the lives of the Philippians. And therefore, he expresses his gratitude. When we realize God's grace in our lives, we will overflow with gratitude. Another reason we notice here is the long-term partnership. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The partnership has continued for 8 years. This is a long-term partnership. And so, Paul expresses his gratitude. One more reason. Paul holds this church in his heart. In verse 7, he writes, I hold you in my heart. In chapter 4, verse 1, he writes, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. You see, there is a personal connection. And Paul loves this church. There is a realization of God's grace in their lives. And there exists a long-term partnership, and there is a personal connection, and all these reasons helped Paul to give thanks to God. And thanksgiving includes praying. Philippians 1, 3 to 4. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Here we notice thanksgiving and praying at the same time. The more we realize God's grace in others, the more we would like to thank God for them. And the more we give thanks to God for others, the more we would pray for them. Thanksgiving leads to praying. Not just praying occasionally, but praying always. Not praying because you are forced to, but you are praying with joy. Moreover, Paul's prayer is not a one-second prayer. Okay, bless our missionary so-and-so, amen. Bless so-and-so ministry partner, amen. No, Paul's prayer for Philippians is one of a kind. I try to pray this prayer to myself and to my family and to others whom God has brought in my life. Look at Philippians 1 verses 9 through 11 for his prayer. And it is my prayer, okay, for the Philippians, that your love for God, love for God's word, love for others may abound more and more. It should grow with knowledge and all discernment. Not just with knowledge, but practical application of that knowledge. So that you Philippians may approve what is excellent, what is honorable, what is praiseworthy, what is noble, what is lovely. And so be pure and transparent, pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. See the difference in the way he prays for the Philippians? When we realize God's grace in our life, when we thank God for someone, I think our prayers will be rooted in the word. It won't be just like, okay, Lord, bless Abby, amen. Lord, bless Esther, amen. Lord, bless India, amen. No. Gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace, continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, and then giving and receiving. We see thanksgiving and praying in the front end of the bookends of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we see giving and receiving in the back end of the bookends. This clearly indicates that prayer is the key for gospel partnership besides realizing God's grace. Realizing God's grace will lead us to giving thanks to God and praying, and thanksgiving and praying will lead us to giving and also in receiving. Turn to Philippians 4:15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. See, again, Paul puts these two together, giving and receiving. The Philippians sent their gift to Paul through Epaphroditus. One of the reasons for Paul to write this letter is to give, is to thank the Philippians for the generous gift. And we read about this in the following verses. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied. And having received your gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing. The gifts that they sent to Paul was a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing. You may wonder why the gifts that Philippians sent was a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16 offer some help. Through Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And as you do this, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Sharing what we have with others are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing. A church that acknowledges his name and offers up a sacrifice of praise to God week after week, Sunday after Sunday, will not neglect to do good and to share what it has. As your worship is pleasing to God, so is your sharing, so is your giving. In the Old Testament, we see a pattern for giving tithes. That is 1/10 of our earnings. The New Testament does not talk about tithing, but it does talk about giving. In the Gospels, we see Jesus appreciating the widow's offering. Do you know why? She, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Paul appreciates the churches in Macedonia, which includes the church in Philippi. Do you know the reason? In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord. You may wonder, what will happen to us if we share everything that we have with others? You may ask, as a church, how we will maintain this beautiful church if we share everything that we have with into missions, for missions. Or you may ask yourself how God will take care of you if you share everything that you have. We need to be anxious and worried only if Paul just talked about giving. Paul talks about receiving as well. In verse 17, Paul writes, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." Paul is not after receiving something from the Philippians. What Paul is really after is the fruit that increases to Philippians' account. And Paul is confident that God will supply every need of the givers according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, he may abound in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." You should be encouraged by this, by the fact that giving leads to receiving. But this should never, ever become a motivation for our giving. Giving, in fact, leads us to receiving from the Lord. But this should never, ever become a motivation for our giving. We have looked at how gospel partnership continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying and also giving and receiving. Here, I would like to give you an example of how Esther and I involved with these activities when we entered into partnership with missionaries in Rajasthan for 6 years before we came to the U.S. for our higher education. In India, there is a state called Rajasthan. It's a very dry and barren state. And even for evangelism and gospel work, it is one of the hard places. And missionaries, they worked for 30 years. And only less than 1,000 people, only 859 people, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for 30 years. On an average, only 30 people would realize God's grace in their lives. And the missionaries wanted to give up. And they said, okay, why don't we move to places where there is a great response to the gospel? And so, for example, before we came to know about this state, we were missionaries in Northeast India. Even in 25 years, among a tribal people group called Malto, over 50,000 people came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and 600 churches were planted in just 25 years. But this particular part of India, Rajasthan, it was very dry and barren. And the missionaries wanted to give up. But they wanted to do it after fasting and praying for 2 days. So, in the year 2004, these four missionary families, they met in a place, fasted and prayed, asking the Lord whether to continue their ministry in this dry and barren state in India, or to go to places where there's a great response to the gospel. When they really wanted to discern, they came up with a kind of a ministry vision plan for the next 6 years. And they named it as REAP 2010. REAP is an acronym for Rapid Evangelistic Action Plan. Rapid Evangelistic Action Plan. And they wanted to reach out to 10,000 people in 6 years. And they said, to themselves that this cannot be done by themselves. And they really wanted people to partner with them. That's when we were told about this place. And they said that there is a great need, and they wanted us to find out. They just wanted to find out whether we can partner with them. And we said no, because it's a dry and a barren state for evangelism. And 30 years of hard work and ministry yielded just 859 believers. How in 6 years they were able to reach out to 10,000 people. And we said no. But after 2 weeks, when my wife and I had our morning quiet time, we read a scripture portion from Isaiah 51. And it says, 51, 2 and 3. Especially we read verse 1 and then we read verse 2 and we went to verse 3. And it says, He will make a desert like Eden and a wastelands like the garden of the Lord. He will make a desert like Eden and a wastelands like the garden of the Lord, where joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And in India, we have only one state. We have this desert, that is this state, Rajasthan. And the word of God was very clear. He will make a desert like Eden and a wasteland like the garden of the Lord. And we said yes. And we really wanted to enter into partnership with the four missionary families in Rajasthan. And we just followed doing the activities. Okay, so we realized God's grace in the lives of the missionaries there. Otherwise, they would not be there spending all their life sharing the gospel with people who don't even respond to the gospel. And then we started to give thanks to God for the missionaries. So we said, we will enter into partnership with these missionaries, four missionary families. And we gathered their prayer requests and we started to pray. Okay, we said, in order for you to reach out to 10,000 people in 6 years, we will raise prayer support. We will raise no financial support. And we did that. So we started that with realizing God's grace in their lives. And we started to give thanks to God for them, for those four missionaries. And then we started to pray for them. And it was not just bless this missionary, bless this state, Rajasthan. We really gathered their prayer request and we prayed using several prayer strategies. One day fasting and prayer, 2 days fasting and prayer, 3 days fasting and prayer. And we used several other strategies. And we asked the missionaries, okay, in order for you to reach out to 10,000 people in 6 years, what else you want us to do? Do you have any financial needs? They said, yes. And we asked them, okay, what are those needs? They said, okay, when we go to villages, we want to show Jesus film. And we want a big screen like this. And we want a projector. And we said, okay, yes, we will provide you. We provided. We helped them financially. And they wanted us, okay, motorbikes so that we can go to a village and share the gospel. We provided the needs. And even finally, they asked for a Jeep. We want to go to a village as a team so that we can do some stuff as a team and share the gospel. We said, yes, we were able to provide. Gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace. We realized God's grace in the lives of the missionaries. And then we started to give thanks to God for those four missionaries who wouldn't give up. And then we started to pray for them. And we started to mobilize, give. And you may ask, what have we received in return? Well, there is nothing to say that we received any monetary gain from the Lord. There is so much joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment when we look back how we entered into partnership with four missionaries in Rajasthan. You know, there are 10 missionary families in Rajasthan now. There are 10 mission fields. In that 6 years alone, in answer to our prayers and in answer to the hard work of the missionaries, 3,142 people took baptism. 30 years, 859, less than 1,000. Excluding them, in just 6 years, 3,142 people took baptism. Gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace, continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, and giving and receiving. And then finally, it ends with giving God the glory. Paul ends this letter with this verse, verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul makes this very clear. As God's grace is foundational to gospel partnership, activities such as praying, thanksgiving and praying, and giving and receiving should result in giving God the glory. Instead of saying, we supported global partners, we will say, we supported the global partners for the glory of God. Instead of we saying, we went on a short-term mission trip, we will say, we went on a short-term mission field trip for the glory of God. Instead of saying, we taught the pastors in India. We went to India and we gathered 100 pastors in India. We will say, we taught the pastors in India for the glory of God. And instead of me saying, I planted 100 churches, I taught 10,000 church planters, I will say, I planted 100 churches, or I trained 10,000 church planters for the glory of God. And every time Esther and I ask ourselves when we share about our ministry experience, are we taking the glory to ourselves or are we giving God the glory? You also should ask yourselves when you partner with a missionary, am I taking the glory to myself or am I giving God the glory? Whatever you do, whether it is thanksgiving or praying or both, or giving or receiving or both, we should do it to the glory of God. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your most holy, living and active word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and speaking to us about the importance of gospel partnership, what it is. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, redeeming us. Only that prepares us to enter into partnership with someone, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your redeeming work on the cross. And we pray for this church that you would continue to be with them so that, Lord, we would all give thanks to you and pray, give and receive and do it all for the glory of God so that we can advance the Great Commission in places like in India and in other parts of the world for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.